Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 17. Ayur harati vaipum sam udyan astam chayan aso tasyarte yad kshano nita Uttama shloka vartaya Ayur haranti vaipum sam udyan astam chayan asau tasyarte yatkshano nitta Uttama shloka vartaya. Translation. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of goals. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness, because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient, even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. Bhagavad Gita 2:40. as a highly potent drug injected intravenously, acts at once on the whole body. Similarly, the transcendental topics of the Lord, injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord, can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization, for a moment, in the association of pure devotees like Shukadeva Goswami, prepares one's complete life for eternity. As such, the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. And due to material infection only, the eternal living entity is subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. I'll read the translation again. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So, according to Vedic knowledge, every living entity has a certain duration of life that is assigned to him from the time of his birth. And we cannot increase our duration of life because we are already destined to enjoy a certain span of life. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, both by rising and setting, the movements of the sun decrease the duration of life of everyone. Srila Prabhupada says that, for example, a person has so many years to live. So if he has lived 1 year, we say he's 1 year old. But Srila Prabhupada says that actually we should say he is 1 year dead, because he is that much closer to final death, and that year for him is gone. It's dead. The great thinker, Chanakya Pandit, has said that at the time of death, even if one is prepared to spend any amount of money, huge quantities of gold, he cannot purchase even one more second of life. If you're dying and you tell the doctor that, you know, I need more time, I'll give you £1 million or a billion pounds? Can you extend my life? But life and death are not in the control of the doctor or any living being. Therefore, because we cannot purchase even one moment with any amount of money, that means that every moment is unlimitedly valuable because there's no way we can purchase it. And therefore, we should utilize every moment very carefully. Srila Prabhupada had a friend named Bridgeratan Mota in Bombay, who's a big industrialist. In fact, he was the richest man in Pakistan before partition. And he was married to the daughter of Seth R.D. Birla. And Srila Prabhupada was very expert in speaking in language that his particular audience could understand and appreciate. And because Mr. Mota was a businessman, Srila Prabhupada spoke in language that a businessman would appreciate. And he told Mr. Mota that in your lifetime, there's a ledger of how you're spending your time. Any time used in Krishna consciousness is profit. And any time used outside of Krishna consciousness is loss. So every businessman wants profit. Nobody wants loss. And our most valuable commodity is our duration of life. So we don't want to lose. We don't want to incur losses in our most valuable asset. We want to have gains. So any time used in Krishna consciousness and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is profit. And any time spent outside of Krishna consciousness is loss. It's bringing us that much closer to death. This verse comes at the conclusion of a section in the Bhagavatam that describes how people misuse their bodily functions if they do not engage in the service of the Lord. And there's one verse that says that one who does not engage in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, he possesses ear holes like those of a snake. In other words, he might as well not have ears because he's misusing them. And his speaking is compared to the croaking of frogs. Frogs can croak very loudly. And when they're in a group, they create a tumultuous sound. I don't know if it's still true, but at the Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Temple in Durban, South Africa. There was a moat around the temple, and then there were some rooms beneath the moat, guest rooms. And during a certain season, the croaking of the frogs was tumultuous. And the frogs considered their croaking to be very melodious. But Srila Prabhupada says that by their croaking, they're just calling death nearer. Because snakes eat frogs, but they don't know where the frogs are. They can't see the frogs. But when they hear the frog croaking, the snake comes, finds out the frog, and swallows him. So Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, that by croaking, the frogs are calling death. In the same way, people who speak of topics other than Krishna, they're just calling death. Their speaking is no better than the croaking of frogs. So in this way, one who misuses his senses outside of Krishna consciousness, the Bhagavatam says, he's engaging his senses uselessly. And his whole duration of life, if not engaged in the service of the Lord, is being spent uselessly. Shrama eva hi kevalam. The Bhagavatam says, even if you do your material duties very perfectly, even if you execute your occupational duties very expertly, but if by doing so you do not develop attraction for hearing and chanting about Krishna, then shrama eva hi kevalam. It is simply a waste of time. So I'll continue reading the purport. The materialistic way of pious activities, like charity and so on, is recommended in the Smriti Shastras as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahmin, someone without Brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If the money is given in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100,000 times. And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. So it's clear what the Smriti Shastra says, that if you give money in charity to someone who is not qualified as a Brahmin, whatever money you give in charity, you get the same amount back in the next life. If you give the money to a half-educated Brahmin, not even fully educated, just a half-educated Brahmin, you get the money back double in the next life. If you give the money to a fully learned and qualified Brahmin, you get the money back multiplied by hundreds and thousands of times. And if you give the money to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, or we could say a self-realized soul, you get the money back in unlimited multiplication. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is to realize the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaish cha sarvair aham eva vedya. There is a guarantee of money being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Maddhamma gatva purnar janma navidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. So, if we give money to a self-realized soul, to a pure devotee, we get it back in unlimited multiplications in the next life. Now, everything in the material world is limited. Even the opulence of the heavenly planet is limited. The duration of life on the higher planets is very long, and therefore the demigods who reside on the higher planets are called Amar, which means deathless. But actually they are not deathless, but they live so long that they forget that they're going to die, but they do die. So their life is not unlimited. And their opulence is not unlimited. Unlimited opulence is achieved when one enters the unlimited kingdom of God. That's the purport, that if you give your money to a pure devotee, to a self-realized soul, ultimately you will enter the kingdom of God. Once Srila Prabhupada's disciples arranged to receive him at the airport in Hong Kong in a Rolls Royce. And I don't know about now, but then a Rolls Royce was a very big thing, especially in Hong Kong. So there was a press conference, and one of the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada that, you know, why are you riding in a Rolls Royce? Srila Prabhupada replied, I wasn't there, but he described the whole thing when he came to Juhu after he was in Hong Kong. And these are his words. He told them, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Laksha Vriteshu Surabi Rabi Palayantam, that in the spiritual world, the land is made of Chintamani gems, and the trees are desire trees, and the cows are Kamadhenus. Everything is unlimitedly opulent. Everything fulfills all desires. So Srila Prabhupada said that actually they should have received me in a car made of Chintamani gems. Even if they had received me in a solid gold Rolls Royce, it would not have been good enough. And they have received me in an ordinary tin Rolls Royce, which is not at all befitting. But because they have offered it to me, what can I do? I have to accept it. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at me and said, what can we say to such people? So we can't even conceive of the opulence of the spiritual world here in on the earth planet, which is Martyaloka, place of death. But it does await anyone who utilizes his time in chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord. So this should be our determination, to use every moment in the service of the Lord. Now, the basic principle of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. But the word nitya, which is often translated as eternal, also means regularly. And if we make a resolution that I will always remember Krishna and never forget him, being in the conditioned stage, we know that we will not be able to keep it because we're conditioned souls. The injunctions are meant for conditioned souls. Liberated souls don't need such injunctions. But at least regularly, we should have some time when specifically we remember Krishna and we chant and hear the glories of the Lord. But for us, Srila Prabhupada has said that injunction, smartavya satatam Vishnu, to always remember Krishna, that can be achieved if we chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily. And he notes that if we don't chant 16 rounds daily, it will be difficult to remember Krishna all the time. Once, when we were traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India, a young man joined us. It was very rare then for foreigners to come to India. It wasn't like now. Back in 1971. Somehow he found us and he started to stay with us, even though it was very austere. Very austere. But he would often sit next to me during prasad, which was very simple. Usually it was just plain rice and dal and some dry chapati, some simple vegetables. But he would always say, Krishna exists. Krishna exists. Otherwise, how could such a fallen soul as me get such nice prasad every day? He definitely exists. Anyway, one day, he asked Srila Prabhupada a question. That if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Why can't we just engage in any other service, like preaching or making life members? And Srila Prabhupada answered, but somehow the boy was not satisfied. He kept persisting with his question that if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Like if we haven't finished our rounds and there's some other service, why can't we just do the other service? Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And he kept persisting. And finally, Srila Prabhupada asserted himself as the acharya. Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? And he said, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to. And then he said, because the boy was, anyway, then he said, you can eat and sleep the whole day, but you must chant 16 rounds. And then he looked at the other disciples and said, this is a special prerogative for you. This is not for everyone. So we might think we have so many important things to do, even for the mission of Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada was so insistent on 16 rounds that he said, I don't mind, okay, you're preaching, you're doing this and that. I don't mind if you don't do that. You can eat and sleep all day, but just chant 16 rounds. Of course, when we chant, we're actually praying to the Lord. My dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So if we really do chant 16 rounds sincerely in the mood of praying for service, then we'll be enlivened in devotional service and we'll want to do more service. So it's not possible that someone can chant 16 rounds and eat and sleep all day. But the point is that we shouldn't consider other things so important that we don't have time to chant 16 rounds. And that will enable us to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And our other activities also within the Krishna consciousness movement are designed to help us to always remember Krishna. If we go to distribute books, naturally we'll think, oh, I'm giving people books about Krishna. So we'll think about Krishna. Or if we go to enlist a life member or patron, we'll think that we're trying to get support for Krishna's temple. So naturally we'll think of Krishna. So these also are not ordinary activities. They are also meant to help us to always remember Krishna and never forget him. But they should be done along with chanting 16 rounds minimum. Now, those devotees who are initiated or aspiring to be initiated should chant 16 rounds a day. Everyone should. But if circumstantially one is unable to, or one is just not practiced to, then one can begin with some lesser number. And if one is steady in chanting that number, then gradually one can increase. For example, say someone decides, okay, well, I can't do 16. I'll begin with 8 or even 4. So every day you must complete your quota of rounds. And that will make you strong. Sometimes people say, oh, sometimes I chant 8, sometimes I chant 20, sometimes I chant 2, sometimes I don't chant at all. But the Shastra and our Acharyas recommend that one should fix some minimum number. You can always chant more, but you should fix some minimum number and be sure to complete that number every day. And then gradually you can increase. If you're beginning with 4, you can increase to 6 or 8, and then chant that number without fail. And if by chance it happens that you cannot complete them in a particular day, then you can make them up the next day. Suppose you've fixed your quota of 8, and then one day you're only able to do 6. So then the next day you make it up, you do 10. And that will enable one to continue to make steady progress. And here we're talking about, this verse mentioned specifically, Uttama Shloka Vartaya, topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can also resolve that we will, if we're able, attend Srimad Bhagavatam class every day, as Srila Prabhupada wanted, or read at least, say, a certain amount of time every day, 1 hour or half an hour, or at least one verse and purport of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. But we want to put more and more of our time into the profit column. We want to move it out of the loss column and into the profit column. And visiting the temple, attending the aarti. Of course, if one is able, one should come every day. 10 Mangal aarti, Shringar aarti, Sandhya aarti. This will be very beneficial for us. But if we're not living so close to the temple, then once a day or once a week. But there should be some regulation that I will go to the temple, I will have darshan of the deities, I will see the aarti. And of course, if one is not able to come every day to the temple, then one can have deities at home, make one's home into a temple. Or if not deities, a picture of the Panchatattva, and chant the holy names in front of the picture of the Panchatattva. But we should utilize more and more of our time in these activities. And then preaching, giving Krishna consciousness to others, distributing books, enrolling patrons. These activities will help us to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna. And when we're reestablished in our eternal relationship with Krishna, then we feel peaceful and satisfied. Nothing else will satisfy us. We may run here and there in pursuit of money, a bigger car, a better stereo set or whatever they have these days, or but those things won't really satisfy us. What will satisfy us is reviving our eternal relationship with Krishna. We in the material world, conditioned souls in the material world, we're like fish out of water. We are spiritual beings by nature. Mam evamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are parts and parcels of Krishna, and we are eternal. But somehow we've fallen into the material world, which is a foreign element for us. We're spiritual. We're meant to be in the spiritual atmosphere. We thrive in the spiritual atmosphere. We're happy in the spiritual atmosphere. And here in the material world, we're always struggling. Ultimately, we're struggling against death. Whatever we're doing, we want to avoid death by any means. And again, the greatest calamity, it may have been Chanakya who said it, but the greatest calamity is death. So we're struggling against death, and death can take place at any moment, and therefore we're always in anxiety. Death may come. Because actually we're not meant to die. By nature, we're eternal. But as long as we have this material body, we suffer repeated birth and death. But if we become liberated from the material body and go back home, back to Godhead, then we regain our eternal life. Then no more anxiety, no more death, birth, old age or disease. And then we can actually be happy. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if a person invests in the stock market, and okay, he invests in the morning, and then at noon the stock that he invested in goes way up, and he's like a millionaire or billionaire, and then somehow the stock crashes, and at the end of the day, he loses everything. So is that a very glorious achievement, that between noon and 2 p.m. I was a multimillionaire, but then by the time the market closed, you lost everything? So that's what we're doing. Okay, in the span of life, you know, we might become a millionaire or a billionaire, but at the end, at the time of death, we lose everything. So what is that achievement? It was there for a couple of hours, but in the end, we lost everything. So we shouldn't invest too much energy in material improvement. We have to keep the body and soul together. We have to have a comfortable standard of living so that we can prosecute Krishna consciousness peacefully. But we shouldn't be running here and there in pursuit of money and sense gratification. That will waste our human form of life. Then we'll have to come back again. And if we come back again, we don't know what form of life we'll be in. Srila Prabhupada said, and this was, you can see what a visionary Srila Prabhupada was. This was like 30 years ago. Srila Prabhupada said, they're worried about petrol. Is there going to be petrol to run the cars of our children and grandchildren? And Prabhupada said, the rascal, he's not thinking that I'm going to be a cockroach in that car of my child or grandchild. He's worried about them. Oh, are they going to have petrol to drive the motor car? He's not thinking I'm going to be a cockroach in the car. So, I mean, yes, we want to take care of the environment and everything, but we should have the right priorities. And the first priority above everything else is Krishna consciousness. And that should, if we have the right priority and we do everything else according to that priority, then everything will fall into place properly. So we shouldn't think I'm the body and the goal of life is to enjoy the senses of the body, then everything will be wrong. But if we think I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, then everything will be right. Again, Srila Prabhupada gave the example, if you're doing a mathematical calculation, if you make a mistake in the first step, then even if you do all the other calculations properly, you'll get further and further away from the solution. So the first step is, am I the body? Or am I not the body? Am I the soul within the body? So if the first step is wrong, if I think I'm the body, then even if you do everything perfectly for the benefit of the body, you get further and further away from the real solution. So the first step in the calculation is I'm not the body. I'm spirit, soul. I'm part and parcel of Krishna. I'm meant to serve him. And then, if you have that step right, then all the other steps will bring you closer to the proper conclusion. And the other steps are clear. They're given in the Shastra. The devotees are here. They can explain the other steps. And if you just follow the process, you'll be successful. You'll be happy in this life. And in the end, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.